I'm here this morning at NDG outside the office of the Quebec Minister of Immigration. About 40 people are standing in the rain for a rally called by Solidarity Across Borders. The group is working to enable the return of Daniel, a 17-year-old who was deported from school last fall, separating him from his family and community in Montreal. I spoke with some of the organizers about the campaign to get Daniel home.
So my name is Mary Foster. I'm part of Solidarity Across Borders. We're a migrant justice network in Montreal of migrants and allies who are struggling to stop deportations and detentions of immigrants in Canada, and for a solidarity city where everyone has access to everything, whatever their immigration status.
Great. And can you tell us a bit about why we're here today?
We're here today to specifically underline the case of Daniel. That's a name we've come up with. That's not his real name, to protect his identity. He's a minor who was arrested at one of our schools as an undocumented kid, and he was put in detention. Then he was deported all by himself to Mexico, where he's still living, trying to make ends meet as an unaccompanied minor in that city. His family is still here. And so we're here specifically in front of the Quebec Minister of Immigration's office in order to ask Quebec, or tell Quebec, they have to step up and take responsibility in this file. It's because Quebec, the government of Quebec, has failed to make schools safe for undocumented kids that this happened to Daniel. There's many groups who've joined the coalition. I think that we're up to 25 different organizations in Quebec who have joined the call to bring Daniel back, regularize the family, and make schools safe for kids in Quebec, including the Fédération des Femmes de Québec, Ligue des Droits et Libertés, the CSN union, the teachers union as well. So there's many different organizations who are supporting this campaign. But it's a grassroots-driven effort. It's a community-based effort. And that's Solidarity Across Borders Network is behind it.
Can you talk just briefly about the circumstances surrounding his deportation originally?
Yeah. So like all undocumented people, when you don't show up for the airport for a deportation date, an arrest warrant is issued for you. So anytime you encounter police, whether it's jaywalking or whether it's jumping the turnstiles at a metro, they can run your name through the file, and instead of just getting a ticket, you get detention and then deportation. What happened to Daniel is that he went to his former high school on his birthday to say hi to his friends, and we're not quite sure what happened next, but it seems from the witness accounts that we had that some school staff called the police to say there's this undocumented kid here. The police came, arrested him, handed him over to immigration. He then spent a week in detention and was deported.
So I noticed that some folks went inside. Was there a meeting with the minister? And if so, how did that go?
They didn't get to meet anyone today. They just got told that the minister's not here or whatnot. But Daniel's family has already put in an application for permanent residence in Canada last year, and they're waiting for a response. And so far, there's been complete silence. So they brought a copy of that to the minister and said, look, here's their file. And they asked for a meeting. They weren't given a clear response, so we'll have to follow up on that.
My name is Steve Baird. I'm part of the Comité Éducation Sans Frontières, or the Education Across Borders Committee. We are part of Solidarity Across Borders. We're one of the committees within the broader Solidarity City campaign that's working on access to essential services for people without status. There were people in the network of Solidarity Across Borders who had problems accessing schools, had problems with kids who were being told that they had to pay $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 a year to go to school. And so we've been working on it for quite a while. We've been accompanying students and families that need to register to go to school, but as the case of Daniel demonstrates, it's not a safe place for kids sometimes, and we still need to work on that so that the confidentiality and security is there, and that we don't need to accompany students so that they're able to access free education, but it should be an automatic thing that kids without status should be able to go to school for free. Well, before Daniel was arrested and deported, he was actually threatened. He was told that if he didn't pay the bills that he was sent, that they were going to turn him over to Immigration Canada months before, and that was the main reason that he changed schools. But he went back to his old high school on the day of his 17th birthday, and that's where he was arrested and immediately turned over to Immigration. And as he said in a testimony that he gave and recorded and we played at the last press conference we had, that he was, when they arrested him in the school, they immediately started asking him about his immigration status. Like they knew that was what was going on, and it's currently being investigated by the Commission des droits de la personne et de la jeunesse is looking into the role of the school in his arrest and deportation.
All right, thanks a lot for talking to me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.